Okay. Welcome, everyone. My name is Doug Hazem. I was with Veeam Software. Today, we're going to talk about store simple solutions with Veeam in a production environment. So for that, we have Jay Desai here from Microsoft. He's with the technical solutions professional, a technical solutions professional on the store simple team. And also David Eady, who's an actual customer of Veeam and Microsoft Store Simple. And he's going to talk about his implementation and how he's used the two together for backup disaster recovery and storing his backups in the cloud with Azure and Store Simple. So first off, we're going to talk about understanding the Veeam and Store Simple solution. So I'll give a brief overview of Veeam as well as the integration in with Store Simple. And then we'll have talk about implementing Store Simple in a customer environment. So David will go over how Fortescue Metals Group, how they do it in terms of their solution, and how they've implemented it to achieve their end goal. Of course, the key value of Store Simple and Veeam, we'll talk about that a little bit as well. So with that, let's talk a little bit about Veeam backup and replication, or the Veeam solution, as we like to say. This is a slide with it's a lot of busyness on it in terms of backup. But the main points there off to the side, it's agentless, it's purpose-built for virtualization, and it's extremely scalable. So when you take a look at Veeam backup and replication in an environment, it can be a very small environment with one or two hosts and a couple of VMs to an extremely large distributed environment with hundreds or thousands of VMs across multiple data centers and multiple locations. We've architected it in such a way that to scale it out, all you do is add an additional Veeam backup proxy. It's very simple. You push it out, whether it's VMware or Hyper-V, it's cross-hypervisor. It doesn't matter from our perspective. From the backup architecture, all of this is really great. We can send it to Store Simple. But at the end of the day, it's all about recovery, because your backups, are only as good as your ability to recover. So we like to talk a lot of times about recovery and really focus on that instead of the actual backup infrastructure. One of the things we pioneered actually 4 years ago in 2010 is what's known as instant VM recovery through a technology we call vPower. And vPower is the ability to run the virtual machine directly from the backup file. So what this means is, from an instant recovery perspective, you've got your virtual machines running in production. You've taken backups of them. Everything's running along just fine and great, and all of a sudden, a VM in production fails. And that means you've got unhappy users because they can't get their work done. Now, in a normal scenario, before you had all these new capabilities, you'd probably go and troubleshoot that VM, try to figure out what's wrong with it. You might spend an hour, hour and a half maybe, trying to troubleshoot, get it back online. If you couldn't get back online, then you'd say, oh, shoot, now I have to do a recovery from my legacy backup, and I know that recovery is going to take a long time. I've never even tested it. I hope I can do it. Those are all the pitfalls of how things used to be. But with virtualization and advanced recovery technologies from Veeam, with vPower, we can actually start the virtual machine right back into production from the backup file in less than 2 minutes. So from a user perspective, instead of sitting there troubleshooting and doing all this work trying to get it back online and then having to go to your backup and do a full restore and taking all this time, you can have things back online, your users being productive, in just a few minutes. So that's the real power of instant VM recovery in a production environment, is getting things back up and running again and users happy. But we also understand that running from a compressed dedupe backup file in backup storage is not necessarily going to be optimal performance. So we utilize the power of the hypervisor to actually initiate a migration, a live migration, so to speak, from that storage to back to your production storage. All of that can be done without any additional downtime. So again, you're back online in less than 2 minutes. May not be at full production capability, but you initiate that migration in the background, and then in less than an hour, you're back online full capability. Another thing that you can utilize this capability for, if you think about, okay, we can run the VM from the backup file. Well, how else can I do that? Instant VM recovery is great in if I have a production issue, but how else can you use this technology? One of the other areas we introduced is what we call Sure Backup Recovery Verification. So here we've got the same scenario. We've got our production hypervisors and everything. We've got our backups of them. What we can do once the backup is complete is actually start those VMs up in a fenced-off environment. So from a networking perspective, we can create a completely fenced-off networking area, and we can start those VMs up from the backup. So what does that mean? Well, I just did a backup, and now I can actually test the recovery. We're running the VMs, just like if I was going to restore them. That means I can verify the recoverability of the, of the virtual machine. I can test the recoverability of the operating system, make sure everything in the OS is okay. And I can also test the recoverability of the application that's running inside of that VM. And because I can start them up in a group like this, if there's dependencies, if you need a domain controller, a SQL server, a web server, application server, you can bring all of those up, run a verification job, test it, and then once that test is done, have it email out a report. So that way, every day you wake up, your backups are complete, and you've run a verification job automatically on a scheduled basis in the background without having you to do anything, any additional work. So again, that's part of the real power of being able to utilize virtualization and backup and disaster recovery technologies in this manner. But we've talked about VM recovery. We've talked about verifying your backups. What about application recovery? So at the beginning, I mentioned that it's an agentless image level backup. Well, that seems like it would be hard to get out individual items from this image level backup. How do I get Exchange emails? How do I get SharePoint items? Those types of things. And that's another area that we talk about with our Explorer series. So you'll see Veeam Explorer 4 and then a particular technology, Microsoft technology in most cases. Last year, or actually 2 years ago, we introduced Veeam Explorer for Exchange. And Veeam Explorer for Exchange allows you to essentially do item level recovery of emails, contacts, calendar items, any Exchange object, all from an offline Exchange database. And that offline Exchange database, if it happens to be in a Veeam backup file, great. If it happens to be on a snapshot or somewhere else, that works too. So you can do item level recovery from any offline Exchange database. This gives you visibility in terms of what's in that database. You can also use it for e-discovery. You can search through multiple mailboxes at the same time for particular items. It can be very useful in the case of discovery for if the lawyers are asking for things. But at the end of the day, it's all about that item recovery, being able to recover that right back into the user's mailbox, export it to a PSD, or even into Office 365 from a recovery standpoint. So it's an extremely powerful tool, the Veeam Explorer for Exchange. And it's also free. So we have a free edition, and the Veeam Explorer for Exchange is included in the free edition. And remember, I said it works with any offline Exchange database. So again, free utility for Exchange. We take that similar concept to SharePoint, right? You back up the SharePoint database servers, the SharePoint servers, all those types of things, and do a recovery, item level recovery for SharePoint. Veeam Explorer for SharePoint gives you that instant visibility for 2020 and 2013 SharePoint. Again, you can do some e-discovery, find the items you want to recover, and then you can export them or restore them directly back into SharePoint. And again, you don't have to do a special backup for this. You just back up your SharePoint servers as you normally would with Veeam backup and replication. You need to do a recovery. You right-click, you say SharePoint, boom, it pops up. You start to recover items. Again, agentless image-level backup with very specific item-level recovery. Last week, we announced publicly that we're going to be offering a Veeam Explorer for SQL. Veeam Explorer for SQL is a little bit different because with SQL, it's not necessarily so much about recovering an individual item within the SQL database, but it's more about transaction level recovery or point in time recovery with SQL. So with version 8 that's coming out this summer, we will include the option to back up your SQL logs as part of the SQL server every 15 minutes or so. So now when you go to do a recovery, you'll see that slider point. You'll be able to slide to a specific point in time, and then when you click next, you can actually then choose an actual individual transaction to recover that SQL database too. So it's full database recovery, but to a very specific point in time, thanks to the fact that we're actually capturing the SQL logs. And then finally, Active Directory. So this is actually in beta right now. So if you have Active Directory, you're backing them up. Veeam Explorer for Active Directory, again, gives you visibility into Active Directory. You can search for items, But then you can restore them. So you can restore groups, you can restore users, you can restore computers. And the great thing is we restore the passwords as well. Very important for obviously for users, because if you delete an OU and you have to recover that entire OU of users and then you have to tell them a new password, that's a pain. But by restoring the passwords, they may never know that anything happened. It's also very important for computer accounts. If you delete an OU full of computer accounts and then you restore them without the password, they all have to essentially rejoin the domain. Not a good Monday morning experience for administrators. So restoring the passwords is very important. Now, you know, I talked about Exchange, SharePoint, SQL, Active Directory. What if you have an application that's not one of those? Well, we also include what we call universal application item recovery. And if we go back to that idea of an isolated environment to start your VMs up using vPower, so now I can start them up, you can actually then run them side by side with your production. And we also include a virtual appliance that sits on both networks to give you access into what's running in the isolated environment, what's running in production, so you can actually pull items out of one and put them into the other. So we call that universal application item recovery. It can be any item. You just start these VMs up over here, representing the application, and then from a desktop or workstation using native tools, you can pull data out of one and insert it back into production. So, UAIR. And there we go, going back into production. And then the final use case for this is what we call the on-demand sandbox. Again, think about this fact that, okay, I've got this isolated environment. I can test things before I put them into production. I can take a backup of my production VMs and then immediately start them up in this isolated environment and test things. I can test deployment of patches. I can test deployment of an upgrade to a specific application. If I'm going to run a particular SQL statement on my database that I think might affect it negatively, I can test that in a SQL database in this isolated environment before I actually do it in production. So it's all about mitigating your risk before you do things by utilizing the data that you already have in your backups. And it's very simple to create this isolated environment. We have a wizard-driven interface. You don't need a lot of extra equipment, a lot of extra things for this environment. Very, very quick, very easy. So those are just some of the Veeam capabilities. What's great, though, in terms of this session, right, is when we talk about how do we pair that now with Store Simple, and how do we be able to, how are we able to take advantage of all of these Veeam capabilities as well as the capabilities that we get from Store Simple. And that's where, we talk about the idea of Veeam backup to what we call primary backup storage, but then we can copy that data into a Store Simple device. Where then we think about it from an archival perspective. We copy it over to Store Simple, and then Store Simple then takes over, and then based on its policies, we'll then create the snapshots in the cloud, snapshots on Store Simple. So you now got your data protected not only on-site, but also through Store Simple and off-site in Azure. And we have some requirements. We'll be talking about those as well when we go through that. And finally, from an interface perspective, there is a nice web interface called Veeam Backup Enterprise Manager. Allows you to manage multiple backup servers if you have them. But it's also where you go to initiate file-level recoveries for end users. You can actually delegate restore for virtual machines and files and those types of things. Again, all meant to make it very easy on the recovery aspect. So you can say, okay, this user can recover these VMs that are part of this group, or they can recover files that are part of these VMs as part of that group as well. So with that overview of Veeam backup and replication, now let's take an overview of Store Simple and Azure.
Thank you. Thanks, Doug. So Doug did talk about Veeam, the cool things it can do, the application level restores, the migration components, even doing deduplication and compression on the software side. Now I'm going to talk about Store Simple, right? Now you have these backup files, dedupe, compress, backup files. How to leverage Store Simple and then eventually move that data into Azure. So what we typically find, and most of you guys know this better than I do, typically there is some sort of primary storage within your environment. You're doing disk-based replication and then eventually to tape. In some enterprise accounts, I've seen more of the archival component also built in. So what is happening, your storage admins are managing multiple storage devices, different management interfaces, and spending more time on managing and scaling these infrastructure components. Now, if you want to take these Veeam backup files and you want to scale out, if you're thinking, I want long-term retention, I need more storage because I need to retain this data for maybe a year or maybe 6 years, I want disaster recovery capabilities for these backup data sets of mine, that's where StorSimple comes in play. We introduced a category called cloud integrated storage, where the StorSimple device is sitting on premise in your data center, and through your internet link, your WAN components, we do go connect into Azure at the back end. So all the scale that you need for disaster recovery, replacing your tape infrastructure, or the cheaper storage tier to do long-term archival and backup retention comes from Azure. The short-term performance and storage component is delivered by StorSimple, which is sitting on-premise, and it guarantees the performance you need. It is acting like just another ice kazi SAN that you might have in your existing environment. The key thing to note is now you can scale as and when you need, and the best thing about that is now we are moving to pay-as-you-go model, and you can start consuming more, or as the retention expires, StorSimple can go and reclaim that space and show you the ROI in return. So what is typically happening, right? If you look at the current workload, it could be file share environments, your backup environments. Typically, as the data set grows, the investment in the infrastructure is also increasing at the same component, right? But now the feedback that we are hearing from the CIOs is, we need to reduce that cost. We can't be spending more and more and increasing our infrastructure for the data set that we are not accessing. And what is that data set typically? It is typically your tier two, tier three data set, unstructured data set, or these backups that you need to retain because of compliance reasons or whatever regulations that you have within your respective geos. And the access pattern for that is, yes, I'm initially accessing the data more frequently, but as over time it goes on, I don't really go back and touch that component. That is where StorSimple comes in. StorSimple is focusing on the existing working set data, where I probably need to access the file for 30 days or 3 months. We have four different models of StorSimple depending on the use case. One of them could be the right fit, that on which the working set would reside on. Anything archival or anything that has not been accessed beyond that 30-day or 3 months, whatever the time period would be, we start tiering that data set into Azure. So StorSimple is the hybrid storage gateway that is bringing Azure to your data center without any modification being done in your current existing infrastructure. So what does the architecture or what does the end-to-end architecture look like, right? You could have your applications, or in this case, what David is going to be touching upon is the Veeam server, right? Is directly connecting, and we are an ice kazi SAN. So that connects to StorSimple, and that component sits within your data center. So that way, everything is local. We do have combination of SSD and SAS drives within the hardware through which we guarantee the performance that the Veeam requires to do that 2-minute restore, right? You're trying to restore a VM, you have a backup file which is 30 days old sitting on StorSimple, we could go quickly help you restore that VM within less than 2 minutes. So the idea here is your short-term retention is still sitting in your data center and available when you need. As and when we run out of the capacity on the local capacity on StorSimple, we automatically start tiering that data set into Azure. So now you could define a long-term retention, or it could be your disaster copy, which is now sitting in Azure. So if something happens to your data center and there's a tsunami impact or whatever it could be, you do have a master copy now sitting in Azure, and through another StorSimple appliance anywhere, you can go back and restore all your virtual machines or any other data set, which could be unstructured data like file share or any other component. So what is the underlying architecture, right? What is happening internally? As the Veeam backup file is moved over onto Store Simple, we break it down into blocks. These are 64K blocks which go and hit the SSD tier. That is where the performance that I've been talking about for the working set is how we guarantee, because the first writes are always happening on the SSD tier. Once you start migrating more and more data set, we have inline dedup and compression. So these are inbuilt algorithms running within Store Simple. So as more and more data gets pumped in, we start deduping that data set and then eventually compress that. Now the key component comes in security. I've spoken to a lot of guys, and there's the notion of, hey, how secure is my data? Microsoft is going to be, all this data set is going to be sitting in Azure. How do you guarantee security on that front? So the key thing to note is we use AES-256 encryption for any data set that is leaving Store Simple. It could be the backup data set or just this normal tiering that is happening, and we encrypt that data. You as a customer are holding the encryption key, which never gets pushed out into Azure at that point. So your backup, your long-term retention, and your DR copy, which is actually a single copy from a Store Simple standpoint, is fully secured in the Azure data center. The key thing I wanted to highlight on this front is now, based on the access pattern, there could be some blocks that are sitting in Azure, some blocks on the SaaS tier, some blocks on the SSD tier. Depending on the file or files that you access, Store Simple automatically will increase the priority of those blocks and move it onto the SSD layer. And that is how we ensure that whatever files you're accessing become the new working set and is always residing on the Store Simple device. And that way, we reduce the latency factor that your application, in this case Veeam, would be needing. So what does the server see, right? From a server standpoint, this is just another storage tier, right? Azure has hidden all the complexities of archival, the block level ranking that we do. All that is a hidden feature. From a server standpoint, it is either seeing a share path or an E-drive. So that is which becomes a target to Veeam software and use schedule policies within the Veeam management that Doug spoke about, and start migrating data set onto Store Simple. And as that data comes into us, depending on how much data set it is, how frequently it is being accessed, we do the archival that I showed you on the previous slide. The key thing is now I can see the value. This seems something I would be interested in. But how do you guarantee data protection? What are the data protection features that are available, which my traditional storage vendor provides? Do you guys have those capabilities? We do. So we do have local snapshot capabilities, which are retained obviously on the hardware, residing within your data center. So now if you had deleted a backup file by mistake or for some reason the file got corrupted, you could easily go back to your local snapshot and mount any of those snapshots depending on the retention and restore your short-term, the file from these short-term backups. What we also have is something called cloud snapshot. So in the traditional world, you would do disk-to-disk mirroring. In our case, what we are saying is that secondary disk is Azure. Our target destination is Azure. So whatever data set across these three tiers, we will take that and make a copy in Azure. So that way, you have a truly independent copy residing in Azure. And the best thing about that is accessible from any part of the world. You are not restricted to your infrastructure. You can have access to it from anywhere in the world. So let me jump into local snapshot. Our volumes consist of two things, right? There is a component of the actual data set, which is the backup file in Veeam's case, which could be anywhere from 50 gigs to a terabyte file, and depending on number of virtual machines you're trying to back up. We then do block-level ranking on that and create our own metadata. What files are, what blocks are dedup, what blocks are compressed, who is referencing what, and based on that, we start building the snapshot metadata also. So the two key things to remember about local snapshots is the volume metadata will always be referencing any new or updated blocks. The snapshot metadata will be referencing the original block. So in this case, A, B, C, D were my original blocks, nothing has changed, and so my volume metadata is still referencing the same blocks. When I take my first snapshot and assume A had changed to A prime, my original reference to that particular block is stored within the snapshot, and the change block is being referenced by the volume metadata. So this is where what we call as local snapshots is copy, reference, and write. And that way it is more reference updates rather than going and storing multiple copies and increasing the metadata and also increasing the storage space consumed by these metadatas. So as you pump in more and more data, ENF new blocks come in, and you take another snapshot where C has changed, but C was available at the time of snapshot one. So that reference to that particular block is now stored in snapshot one, while the change in block E is now stored as part of the snapshot two. So on. So with that, let me jump into cloud snapshot. So this is where we say now your data is sitting within SSD, SASD, and maybe some of the blocks are sitting in Azure. When I go and issue a cloud snapshot, we know where the blocks were residing and the corresponding metadata that is available. So when you issue the first cloud snapshot, we ensure the metadata and the actual blocks get migrated or moved, in this case, into Azure. So you have a fully independent backup of the metadata and volume data now residing in Azure. Over time, let's say tiering happens, there are blocks that were written on the store simple device, and some blocks were written or tiered into Azure. So when I'm going to take a new snapshot, what we do is the volume metadata comparison is what we do. What we identify in this case now that we have two blocks that are new. One of them is already residing in Azure, and the other one, which is new, has come onto the store simple device. So when I issue the second cloud snapshot, I will only push the purple block because I already know that I have the existing block available in Azure. So that way only a single block gets migrated. Hence, the bandwidth requirements are really small. And the key thing to remember, which I mentioned earlier on, is all this data set and metadata gets dedupe, compressed, and encrypted on its way to Azure. So low bandwidth requirements. So if you have remote sites where you want to run this end-to-end scenario, you could leverage this with low bandwidth available in those remote sites. This is typical, and I'm sure you guys are configuring this on your current devices, where there's a short-term element of backup which are being covered by local snapshots, and then anything over a week or a month, they rely and configure the policies of cloud snapshot piece. So just to summarize before I hand it over to David is, Store Simple lets you do four things. One is get you the performance that you need for your working set data, inbuilt archival capabilities so that you don't need to worry on which data needs faster disk versus which data needs to go reside in Azure, inbuilt data protection via local snapshot and cloud snapshots, and finally, disaster recovery, right? Because now you have a cloud snapshot available in Azure, that becomes your disaster recovery copy, and you can define the retention for that, where we will go back and reclaim the space as and when needed. So I'm going to hand over to David, who has actually now, and he's going to talk about the solution where he's taken Veeam and Store Simple and is delivering a true value to his company, and he will talk about all the good and the bad that he's learned with this experience.
Thanks, Joe. Hi, everyone. My name's David. I'm from Fortescue Metals Group, which is based in Perth, Western Australia. I've got 14 years' experience in IT. Now, it's key that I call out what our IT strategy is. Our IT strategy is to enable a business strategy, and we do this by understanding, by being trusted, and with business velocity. We're not an IT company, we're a mining company. Hence, the solution is simple. So a bit about our company. We're the world's fourth largest producer of iron ore. We've got operations located in the Pilbara region of Western Australia, where you can see Solomon and the Chichester Hub. Our corporate office is based in Perth. We recently opened the Kings Valley Project and celebrated the completion of our 155 million tonne per annum shipping expansion. Our C1 cost of mining is US$34.88 wet metric tonne, which is in line with the guidance of US$34 for a wet metric tonne for the financial year 14. The operational efficiencies. So one Australian tonne equals 2,204 pounds. Now, we're like a supply chain, our business. So we mine, we dig rocks out the ground, we blow the ground up and basically put it on a train. We ship it up that blue line up to Herb Elliott Port, which is called Port Hedland, where it gets loaded on the onto the boats. That's where the money is. If the ore is sitting on the ground, we don't make money. It has to be on the boat and shipping. So there's a number of core values in our company: frugality, enthusiasm, determination, family, integrity, empowerment, set stretch targets, generate ideas, and safety. Now, it's important that I call out just a few of those. For example, frugality to us means we need to do this cheap. We can't go spending a lot of money on excessive amounts of kit unnecessarily. You know, we dig rocks out the ground. We're not an IT business. Safety is key for our business. I need to call that out. So, consuming IT and pay for it when it's needed as a service. The rate of data on our servers is growing, and thus, so are our backup footprints. We've got a couple of petabytes of data floating around, so you can imagine our backups are well and truly in size with that also. And then the more you keep for 10 days, 30 days, or even a year, that grows quite exponentially. On top of that, the more trays that you'd add of traditional enterprise storage, you'll get an increase of rack space utilization. You get an increase in the power consumption that comes with it, increased HVAC aircon costs and larger systems potentially, a few hundred grand right there, increased management and monitoring of hardware, and the increased hardware maintenance renewals. We all know that SAN maintenance renewals don't come cheap at the three-year mark, particularly when you're after 4 or 5 years maintenance on a nice expensive SAN. So we've got to start somewhere. To reduce these actual unnecessary costs, meet the growing demands of capacity, there are several technical challenges to overcome. We need a backup software product that must be configured, able to be configured appropriately. We have a lot of backup data, even in our dev and UAT environments, which is production data to people. We've got developers. Their livelihood depends on being able to come to work and use that data. We've got Veeam. It's already in place, so that's a tick. The backup target must meet the capacity, performance, criteria, and tier to the cloud. The backup target should meet the core values of our mining company, frugality. So, store simple. Already got three of those in place. So let's look at that old school way. That's a rack, 42 RU rack. We've got some UPSs at the bottom, SAN controller, three shelves, a couple of switches, whether they're a fibre channel fabric or iSCSI, and just some patch panels at the top. So the storage trays, that costs money, the rack space, the data centre building space, leasing per square metre or however many feet they do it in the US here, the cooling, mechanical services, and all that still costs money. So to get around it, we look at the store simple solution. So at the top here, we've got our servers. This is on the left-hand side, on a traditional array. We've got our servers, the disk arrays, double that money if it's got multiple copies of it, the snapshots for that, the VTL libraries, the media service to handle that sort of stuff, encryption appliances if you're encrypting data as it goes out to Azure. You've got physical tape infrastructure, such as drives, the tapes themselves, sending them to an offsite vault, and then paying for that continued amount of storage. Over here on the right, and this is just for 50 terabytes, which is not a lot of data, you've got the Veeam server, so a Veeam off-host proxy. In this one particular scenario I'll give you is I've got a 1RU pizza box server with a few NICs in it. It then goes directly into a store simple appliance, where I've provisioned a 50 terabyte LUN. Now, that particular appliance is one of the older models, so I can provision up to 200 terabytes capacity on a fairly small type device. But just for this DevUAT example, 50 terabytes. I get the cloud snapshots, and I get the cloud clones. They're important for long-term data retention. These are the Veeam configuration requirements. I'll let Doug talk on those.
So So, you know, a couple of things in terms of Veeam technology, we have a number of different modes. And one of the important things is when you're setting up for a particular storage device or a particular target, you want to make sure that you have the settings right. And we've done quite a bit of testing with Veeam Backup and Replication and StorSimple, and not only at FortiSQ, but also at some other customers to make sure that we have settings right in the real-world examples. So the first thing in terms of backup mode is you want to do an incremental mode with what we call active full, periodic active fulls. And we do this because, you know, when you saw Jay talk about how StorSimple tiers the storage, we don't want to have to go and reach back into that cloud tier to, in order to rebuild a synthetic backup and those types of things. So from a performance perspective, you definitely want to do the incremental with active fulls. Additionally, one of the included features in Veeam Backup and Replication is compression and deduplication. But as you can imagine, if we compress it and dedupe it, and StorSimple wants to compress it and dedupe it, you start to run over each other. So again, based on what we found in terms of the settings, is you want to disable our deduplication, you want to set encryption, compression level to none, and then you also want to optimize it for the LAN target. And what that will do is Veeam does a block level backup. When you choose LAN target, that will give us 512K blocks. So, you know, these are the settings that we found have worked the best. Now, there is a configuration guide that will be coming out, hopefully within the next week or so. So, you know, once we have that, then all of these other things, other items will be in there as well. So, and Jay, I don't know if you want to talk any of those.
Yep. And key thing that Doug mentioned, right? We have a lot of demand on saying we want to integrate with different backup softwares, and we haven't gone out and officially announced anything like this because of things Doug mentioned that they do dedupe compression or they create massive tar files in a different way. And then you lose out on the benefits of dedupe and compression that StorSimple provides, the granular restores that Veeam delivers and offers. All that capabilities are not available through different vendors, right? The performance could be an impact. So the key thing to note is because of these proven technologies and customers like FMG and others, where we have seen these settings work, they're delivering the right performance, the ROI and return. We are officially announcing that Veeam is a supported use case on StorSimple if followed the guidelines, and the document should be out within a week, right? We're just doing final changes recommended by David, and you should have that guide within a week published on TechNet or so. Yep. With that, David?
Okay, so I'm just going to show you some of our deduplication statistics. Now, this is, again, an older 7020 model. But this is real information. Now, I like sand. I like all the sand vendors out there, but I have seen a number of vendors out there on the floor which quote six times dedupe and all that sort of stuff. But what does it mean to us unless we've actually got it in our environment running? So you can look at me and look at this screen and see real hard numbers there. Now, data before deduplication, about midway down there, 113 terabytes. Let's try and amortize that into traditional enterprise storage. That's maybe three or four trays of sand. Put a cost on that, a couple of $100,000. StorSimple appliance, this big, and whatever you can negotiate as part of your engagement with Microsoft. Let's compress that down to data after deduplication. It's only 6.89 terabytes. That's all I'm actually using. Roughly 3 terabytes of that is sitting in the appliance. The other 3 terabytes are sitting inside of Azure. You can see our percentage, our ratio in this one is quite low. The other screen, which I do have of this, actually has it at 9.6 times. So this picture was done a while back. The screen here shows that, yes, we actually have data in Azure. It's not hard to get data up there. We have pretty good latency or low latency into our Singapore data center from Perth of about 61 milliseconds. So I'll show you another slide which has the link where you can ensure that you've got really good low latency. Now, the dip there is where I've made a configuration change in how much of the snapshot information I'm going to keep inside of the device. So for original seeding of some blobs of data, you might want to do it every 2 or 3 hours as previously recommended. And then once it's seeded, you sort of drop it back to maybe 6 hours or a day when you want to do that sort of stuff for your snapshots. So that's as it's dipped down and caught back up, and that's where it's sitting. And you can see it gradually grows over there. Now, 3 terabytes in Azure, it's actually pretty cheap. If you've seen the costs on the Azure site, it's pretty cheap. We don't have to worry about the maintenance and storage cooling costs and power and people to manage it. Read-write bytes per second, so when we're writing from Veeam into this particular storage lung, or this is a, you'll see the subsystem cloud bytes up there. There is another drop-down you can have. But you'll see what the throughput is. And I mean, 20 megabytes between 1:44 p.m. on the 4th of the 5th and 10 hours later, you know, 20 megabytes, it's not a lot. We're fortunate to have large internet pipes. I understand that some people may not. Even on a typical ADSL2 connection, the device can be configured for quality of service to ensure that you're not going to smash your connection.
And just one comment on the previous slide, right? If you look at that screen, essentially it was all writes, and this is going back to my working set comment, is mostly it is writes that happen for this tier 2, tier 3 data set and very infrequent reads that would be happening. So that is where StorSimple solution fits really well along with Veeam to just get your data set into Azure.
Okay, so the unique value of what all this is, beating the technical challenge and more. So Veeam is a flexible commercial off-the-shelf product, and it's storage vendor independent. We don't really believe in using backup products that are tied to a SAN platform. You know, when it comes to negotiating your SAN and you might not want brand A and you want brand B, your backups, you're kind of stuck. So we've got it quite modular, hence we use Veeam for that. It's quite cost-effective in comparison also. Veeam works perfect for Hyper-V, and it has done for some time. The Veeam support is exceptional. We pick them up, we get local Australia-based support. The guys are smart. They do this stuff every single day. The Veeam architectural assistance is exceptional, and that's important to me as an architect, that I can pick up the phone and speak to people of any technical capability, right through from being able to make the pitch through the technical pitch down to the operations team. Veeam backs up our data as we would expect it to using any other type of storage. It's not rocket science the way it does it. Our backup windows are still met using Veeam, store simple or not, to be honest. And that's important. We need to meet the objectives that we get from the business. We can't impact our production systems during the day. We have a significant reduction of rack space, power and cooling using the store simple solution. As I said, a 7020 model is only this big. A 7520 model is 4RU, I believe. Again, it's not a lot. And power-wise, 700 watts, again, that's not much. It's a tiny amount of maintenance compared to SAN storage. You know, it's a handful of connections to plug it in, some power, and the web screens, which you've seen in those other previous web browser snippets. There's not a lot of configuration required. You don't need to be an expert. It was only about 4 or 5 months ago where I sit down and actually configured it myself. Typically, our operations guys do this, but I thought I'll take it upon myself. Now I'd read all the manuals, you know, I knew everything about it conceptually as an architect would, but I'd never configured one. So I thought I'll fire up the web browser, I logged into it, I happened to have the admin rights required to do this sort of stuff, and without the manual, within about 15 to 18 minutes, I'd actually configured a 200 terabyte volume backed into Azure. Now, it's pretty easy. You know, I will say, yes, I am quite technical, not to toot my horn, but, you know, it's not rocket science. I mean, I've configured a number of SAN platforms in my time. This was really easy. There's hundreds of terabytes available when we need it. Good example of that is I recently asked for a large 15 terabyte LUN, which I'll go into shortly. So I went to the ops team and I said, guys, I need 15 terabytes on our existing enterprise storage. And they said, not a chance. If you purchase a SAN tray for us, you can have it. And I went, SAN tray, 50, 60 grand, 4 week wait. Don't worry about it. So I'll drill into what that means shortly, because that was quite important that I had that 15 terabyte LUN. We tiered data to the Microsoft Azure cloud. Again, that's easy. It's very automated, that process. There's no intervention required. We're consuming Azure, as we'd expect. We're not consuming tape drives and racks and all that sort of stuff. The cloud data snapshots in Azure mean long-term retention of data. You don't consume much space by doing that. So we can retain our data for 2 or 3 years. So we've got backups of our backups, without the kit, without much cost, and for years. To restore it, it's as simple as basically adding it as another iSCSI volume, and then you start dragging your data back across, which is quite efficient, Maya, typically about a terabyte per 30 minutes. And that's because of the magic that the StorSimple does inside of the appliance with reconstructing data. So as I said, in one case, we're consuming 50 plus terabytes of space, but only paying for about 6 terabytes. In fact, it's not far off triple that now since I originally did these notes. It's a very simple storage appliance, little smarts required, I've covered that. And we've built an exceptional relationship with Microsoft and Veeam experts worldwide. That's important to our company as a competitive advantage. Now, none of this didn't come without any challenges. So at first, there was no reference architecture. Around about 11 or 12 months ago, I first started at the company. It was like day number two. I got an email. Hey, Dave, we've got this Store Simple appliance. We need to do something with it. And I'm like, what's a Store Simple? You know what I mean? Like, I've never seen one. So they take me to the data center and they say, it's that. And I'm like, hey, that looks great. It's white. I've never seen a white disk appliance. They're always gray or orange or black or something like that. So then we also had Veeam. We were sort of getting the Veeam testing in place. And we couldn't get the two to work. We tried for weeks. The operations guys, now these guys in the operations, they're excellent. They are very smart. Every bit of credit goes to them on this. They could not get it to work efficiently. The device couldn't keep up. Veeam backup jobs were failing. So, as I said, the reference architecture is coming out next week. That's very important. Now, not realizing the importance of Store Simple controllers' intelligence, or should I say unintelligence, but they are intelligent. It's one of the only storage devices that I've ever used where it's an active-passive type controller. I've always been fortunate to have active-active controllers via fiber channel, whereas this is iSCSI and it's active-passive. Either one works or it doesn't. Now, the example I'll give of that is upgraded the firmware on one of these appliances on the weekend about 2.5 weeks ago. So put the firmware in, upgraded it Friday night, and I lost connectivity. I thought, that's really strange. What's going on here? So I sat back and I thought, oh, that's right. Only one of the controllers is plugged in. It's probably failed over to the other. I'm pretty sure there was a message that said exactly that. It's going to fail over. Suffice to say, I drove to work on Sunday morning and, unplug it, plug it back into the other controllers, and away I went. So in the guide, it does say to plug in both controllers. And from a networking perspective, you know, you want to have the right sort of switching set up for your iSCSI to ensure you've got high availability and that sort of stuff. Some technical advice on this. Understand your latency to Azure. As I already called that out, that website there, I highly recommend it. You can run it on your phone. You can run it on laptops. You can run it in meetings, which I've done several times. I talk about, you know, running SAP in Azure and that sort of stuff. If it's going to be like half a second to a second, it's still going to work, just not as good as what it works for us, I suppose. Ensure your firmwares are current. Always important when you ring up Store Simple support for any particular reason, and you do that. For example, if you delete a volume but you don't delete it in Azure first, you have a lot of trouble deleting it on the appliance. The guys dial in, use PuTTY and delete the volume. MPIO pathing, DSM, and load balance. You need to configure that correctly. Now, I'm sure there's probably some SAN engineers here. You know exactly what I'm saying when I say that. But you want to make sure you've got the right failover capabilities happening in the device, particularly with the MPIO stuff and the fact that it's an active-passive configuration, and then it's, you know, your northbound connections into a switch stack. So you've just got to be mindful how you do that configuration. You can do some real tricky stuff when you get into that. Work closely with your Microsoft TSP. Unfortunately, mine isn't here today. He's also in Australia. And Ben has been absolutely brilliant to work with us on this. And work closely with your Veeam team. Now, I don't know if Veeam team is a coined term, but I wrote it down. I thought, that sounds great, the Veeam team, because they are a team of experts that have helped us exceptionally, and particularly with the information that we've been able to get with the guys on configuring the device. As Doug called out earlier, it's important on those screens to configure those settings for this type of appliance, as it would for any sort of similar type device. What's next for us? We're going to use a 7520 model Store Simple to host a large virtual machine. This is what I was talking about before for that 15 terabyte LUN. I have a large single virtual machine that I need 15 terabytes of space for to put a lot of data into for a temporary solution. I couldn't get it on our traditional enterprise storage. So I'm going to put it on the Store Simple. I've already got the LUN provisioned, except one of the admins who's doing this for me is a bit busy at the moment. I'm going to configure it as an SMB3 file share directly out of one of our file server clusters, put that into Hyper-V, and we're server 2012 R2 for all of our Hyper-V stack. Again, free plug for Microsoft, I highly recommend it because of the replica capabilities that you can do. And then I'll have my virtual machine for free. I don't have to buy trays. It's about 15, 20 minutes worth of work. It's just taking a bit of time to get all the things lined up to actually get that delivered. We're increasing our consumption of file shares on the Store Simple. We've got a 10, 15 terabytes of data on it now. We're aiming to get it maybe about 90 to 100 terabytes of file shares on the 7520. This is lightweight data. The IOPS is typically 150 to 300 IOPS. These devices handle it. They might say it's a tier 2 device. I do throw tier 1 data at it. And the Veeam backup copy jobs, which was mentioned, we don't do that. We actually put our live Veeam straight into it. We don't do backup copy jobs on our devices. As I get these devices up to our mine sites, I will do the backup copy jobs, purely because of the backup windows that we've got on our mine sites are a lot smaller. And continue focus on mining. That's our business. We're not an IT company.
Cool. Thanks, David. So the Veeam and Store Simple solution is saving David so much time that he was able to take a 31-hour flight from Australia and come present to us. So thanks, David. Just a couple of closing remarks, right, is the Veeam team, Store Simple team are here. We have multiple sessions even tomorrow and day after. Veeam guys are presenting. They have demos there. We have a Store Simple session tomorrow at 1. So if you want to see Store Simple live in action, definitely do come for those sessions. As David said, we are present globally. So reach out to your local Veeam and Store Simple counterparts and ask for a demo or a visit to MTC where you can actually get hands-on onto both the software solution and the storage solution. We do have... you could go to this link, and obviously the slides are going to be available where you can actually get a hands-on experience on this whole immersion of Store Simple and the total data center experience that you can go request from the site without reaching out to anyone. So do register for this if you want to. And just a couple of more information on Windows Server System Center, what's new. Where to find resources and more collateral on that. And just the standard closing slide, where to find the TechEd information after this. So with that, we have a few minutes left for any Q&A that anyone has, and there are mics available if you could.
Yes, one of the questions that we have with our Store Simple device was the firmware. When we had it installed, they said there's a 60% success rating every time we upgrade the firmware. What is being done to address that? Because that's not really a safe way if we're going to be putting terabytes and terabytes of data out into the cloud. Again, with the dual controllers, there is redundancy, but having to do each controller at a time, with the two sets of firmware with a 60% success rating is kind of putting a little, nerves into the executives.
Sure.
So I wanted to know what was on that.
Just to repeat the question, it's about firmware upgrade and what has been done to ensure there is no downtime when the upgrade is happening. So happy to share, we are measuring the stats, and we are at 99% right now with the latest patch releases that have come out. We are just announcing, we are at patch 6, and patch 7 is coming out within 2 weeks. And our support team is tracking that matrix, and we are up there at 99% now. So happy to share that information. I'll share my card after this, and we can have the support guys present it to any executive level who needs to see that.
Cool.
Yeah?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so dev and test, as I said, it is production data to us. So don't think of dev and test as you would as production dev test like some IT people do. I haven't replaced all of our backup enterprise storage yet. So we're going through a negotiation phase of trying to upgrade some older appliances to get some 7520s. It's important for the 7520s for us because of the amount of the SSD tier inside of it. It allows us to ram terabytes of more data into it without smashing the CPU inside of the device, because when you hit that CPU up, your disk latency will obviously increase as part of that. Now, as I said, we're using 7020 models, which I don't even think the SSD disks in ours are on the website as a spec. But, yeah, the 7520 is what I'm aiming for, and when that comes in, that's when I'll replace the rest of it. And it's only on our mine sites where I'll do to a fast enterprise you know, fiber channel based LUN that's capable of 3,000 or 4,000 IOPS, just so I can meet backup windows of about 30 minutes, and then I'll do the Veeam backup copy jobs.
And there is a well-known car manufacturer who is running all the production data set through Veeam on StorSimple, and they are a reference account, so if you need to speak to them, definitely happy to arrange a call with them also. We are gathering feedback, and we've seen requests come in for the NFS and SIFS more than fiber currently, because iSCSI does deliver the performance. If you think about the solution, right, with the dedup compression that we do and the tiering, just the incremental blocks, we even don't fill up, and David right here can attest it, right? We can scale up to 20 to 40 megabytes per second. So there is, it's more a connection option versus a performance improvement option. Is the way you want to see it. So we have got more feedback on NFS and SIFS, and probably that is something that we are gathering feedback on versus fiber right now.
Yeah. Cool.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.